a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
We were called out here to work on a markup of the Internet Tax Freedom Act. That's going to be in House Judiciary on Wednesday, so that's a good thing for the state of South Dakota. Anyway, before we get started, let's have the determination of quorum. So, Secretary, please call the roll.
Heineman?
Here.
Jones?
Here.
Northrup?
Here.
Solano?
Here.
Sutton? Tiedemann?
Here.
Van Gerpen?
Here.
White?
Here.
Bolin? Carson?
Here.
Dryden?
Here.
Hager?
Here.
Holly?
Here.
Mickelson?
Here.
Werner?
Here.
Wismer?
Here.
Ronkema?
Here.
Peters?
Here.
Madam Chair, you have a quorum.
Fantastic. All right, and I appreciate everybody being able to do this via teleconference, and for those of you who have a meeting here at 8:30, we will try to do this as fast as, and efficient as possible while still being diligent with the state's work. The first item on the agenda is to the approval of the minutes. Can I get a motion, please? I got a motion by Senator Tiedemann, a second by, was that Representative Mickelson?
Sure.
Okay. Any discussion on the motion? Hearing none. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Seeing none, the minutes for March 31st have been adopted. And Representative Ronkema, did you have anything to add to the agenda?
No, I wish, again, thank everyone for attending, and when we're through, we can all help Representative Bowen pump out his basement.
Yeah, it sounds like Sioux Falls and surrounding areas are full. I know my backyard is now a new lake. My kids always wanted a swimming pool, but not like this. Are there anything else to be added to the agenda that anybody is aware of? All right. Seeing none, let's move on to the second item on our agenda, the additional letter of intent, the Lewis and Clark Rural Water Project funding. And with this, is there any discussion? I would hope that everybody's had a chance to read the letter of intent and also the background information that Troy Larson sent along last week.
Senator?
Go ahead.
This is Tom Jones. Wasn't there an earlier letter of intent with different wording than what we're coming up with this time?
Senator Jones, yes. And Annie or Stephanie, did you guys want to address why there were certain changes in the draft letter of intent?
At the March 31st meeting, you had requested changes be made to the previous draft. It was important to get 0% interest into this one, and the money could only be used for expenses related to the South Dakota portion of that project. So we rewrote it, including those items. We worked with the Department of Environment and Natural Resources, and we also worked with Troy Larson from the project.
Senator John, does that answer your question?
Not entirely, no. May I ask another?
Go ahead, follow up.
Somewhere in there I understood that we wrote that as a loan, and now we're rewriting it as a grant in those kind of words. Can that be explained?
Yes.
Go ahead, Annie.
It was originally written as a loan and repayable to the general fund. After discussions with the Bureau of Finance and Management, we changed it to a grant because the loan could be on the books for years as a receivable. So it would actually be misleading, maybe that's too strong, but on our financial statements. The probability that this money will be repaid to the general fund is unknown at this time. So we changed it to a grant for accounting purposes, but it will still be tracked separately.
Okay. Does that help?
And I also talked to Marty Ginden at Legislative Audit, and the money can still be repaid. There is nothing that changes that requirement, that when the funding is available for repayment, that a grant can be repaid, just like a loan.
Any further questions?
Senator Heineman, quick question.
Go ahead, Senator Heineman.
Andy, I'm just wondering, where are we in the line of repayment? I mean, how do you determine what's repaid and when it will be repaid?
I'm going to let Stephanie Gruba, who's been working on this project, discuss that.
And also, before you do that, I would like to remind you, we do have Troy Larson on the line with the Lewis and Clark Water System. He can also help shed some light on some of this stuff. Okay, go ahead, Stephanie.
So at this point in time, Troy Larson and DENR are working on a grant application, and that will go over the terms of repayment and how exactly that money will be repaid.
Before I, Madam Chair, if I could just add a little bit to that. One of the things that Lewis and Clark has proposed as a way to alleviate the concern by the state that it not be last in line in terms of repayment is in this draft grant agreement, Lewis and Clark is agreeing to put off or delay approximately $20-25 million worth of work that is needed, but it's needed after all the members are connected. So once all the members are connected, we're still not finished. We need to add additional reservoirs and expand the treatment plant. And so what we are committing to do is repay the state before we do that roughly $20-25 million of work. The purpose of that is to ensure that the federal government remains committed to this project, as well as the Lewis and Clark members. And so the plan is for us to repay not only the state of South Dakota, but the state of Minnesota, and if Iowa provides additional funding, before we actually finish the project. So that answers the question of, in terms of where in line would the state be reimbursed. Now, how long that is, we don't know. Is that 10 years, 20 years, 25 years? That all depends on federal funding. So I hope that sheds a little additional light in terms of when Lewis and Clark is committing to repay these funds.
Madam Chairman?
Any further questions?
Madam Chair, this is Senator White. I guess the only question I had is there a contingency of this money being delivered only after they receive other funds that are going to finalize the use of what the general condition of these funds were to be used for? You know, this isn't just a $1 million floating in. It's got purpose. But is it going to not be spent until we have all the funds to do what we were scheduled to do with this money?
Senator White, I believe Troy will help you answer that question. Troy, did you want to help?
If I understand the question, it's what are we going to use this $1 million for? Is that correct?
No, Troy. I'm saying that there's other funds that are co-mingled with this $1 million for the project that we're looking at, right? Is this $1 million single purpose, or is this going into something? Wasn't there a study or something that was going to be used for? This was going to be used for?
These funds will be used for the Madison service line, the $1 million engineering and easement acquisition.
Okay.
And that is outlined in that draft agreement that I know Stephanie has. I don't know if you've all seen it, but there's an Exhibit A.
Right.
That we outline all the different components of the Madison service line in terms of engineering and easement acquisition and construction.
Right. And I understand that, Troy. Was there any other monies that was coming into that, or just this $1 million?
Just this $1
million.
Okay. Now, we of course, will be requesting an advance next session, but it's
okay.
$1 million is just for the Madison service line.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. Any further questions on the letter of intent?
Madam Chair.
Go ahead, Representative Carson.
I got a quick question for Troy. Did the state of Minnesota kick in a tremendous amount of money to finish up their project?
Yes, they did. They put $22 million in also a zero-interest reimbursable grant, and then separate from the $22 million, they included in their tax bill the opportunity for another $45 million, but that's a little more complicated. That's where the local members have to borrow the money, and then the state reimbursed the majority of it, and we're still working through the details of that, but the short answer is that $22 million will get us from the Iowa border up to Laverne and then east to Magnolia. And then we still need to get from Magnolia to Worthington. So Minnesota stepped up in a big way, and we're greatly appreciative of that. And we, of course, thank the legislature for this $1 million. This was a great start for us, and we hope you're receptive to discussing another advance during the next legislative session.
Thank you.
Hey, Ms. Madam Chair.
Go ahead, Representative.
Thank you. Say, Troy, can you brief the committee on how much the state of South Dakota has put into Lewis and Clark and the approximate timing on that, and then how you see future funding requests fitting in the existing omnibus water bill structure?
Sure. The state's share was $31 million, and the state made their last prepayment, I think it was roughly 4 or 5 years ago. I don't have the exact date in front of me. You recall in our hearing this past winter, roughly $18 million that has been returned to the state in terms of tax revenue. And so that's the state's portion so far. Looking ahead.
In terms of tax revenue, I'm not tracking on that. You mean contractors excise tax?
Right. Yep, sales tax and contractors excise tax, correct. And then in terms of, I understand the rest of your question is what we anticipate requesting next session is the Madison service line is approximately $27 million. So you subtract this $1 million and you're left in today's dollars with roughly $26 million. What we have put together is a memo just outlining the different components, and we are not putting in a specific amount. Rather, we are saying here are the different menu items, if you will, and we do plan to go through the omnibus water bill. We've had discussions with DENR and the governor's office, and right now we don't know how many funds might be available through the omnibus water bill, so we don't have a specific request yet. But be assured that's the vehicle we plan to go through. Does that answer your question?
It does. Thank you, Troy.
Okay. Are there any further questions on this letter of intent?
Again, I'd like to speak on that, if I may.
Go ahead, Senator John.
When we approved the $1 million appropriation for this as a loan, it looks now that we have not funded this, spent this, given this money yet, and already they're going to ask the next legislative session more money. Looks to me like this is something that we just opened up an avenue where I don't know if that's where we should be going with this. To me, this is a reneging on the federal government's part, and I'm not sure that they shouldn't live up to their obligation.
Senator Jones, I understand your frustration. However, the problem is the city of Madison does not have a good quality of water. So we're trying to fix the problem and do it ourselves because we've been waiting on the federal government for 10 years to fund Lewis and Clark at the way it was appropriated, and they are not sending the dollars down. So in order to get our citizens a good quality water, we need to do something. So I totally understand the frustration. I'm just as frustrated as you are, but we need to at least keep looking at this as something going forward. The $1 million is just a start. It was a stepping stone to see what Minnesota and Iowa were going to do, to also do some pre-funding and creative funding options for this project in order to continue getting residents of Minnesota, Iowa, and South Dakota good water. So I would encourage everybody to vote for the letter of intent as it's written unless there are amendments that we need to make. Are there further questions on the letter of intent for the Lewis and Clark Water Rural Water Project? Are there any further questions? Okay, seeing none, do we have a motion to approve?
So moved.
All right, so I have a motion by Representative Carson, a second by Senator Tiedemann. Okay, this will be, okay, so I've got a motion for approval. Any further discussion on the motion to approve? Seeing none, this is a roll call vote. Secretary, please call the roll.
Heineman.
Aye.
Jones.
No.
Northrup.
Aye.
Solano.
Aye.
Sutton. Tiedemann.
Aye.
Van Gerpen.
Aye.
White.
Aye.
Bolin. Carson.
Aye.
Dryden.
Aye.
Hagar.
Aye.
Holly.
Aye.
Mickelson.
He's coming.
Aye.
Werner.
Aye.
Wismer.
No.
Ramkema.
Aye.
Peters.
Aye.
14 ayes, 2 nays.
All right, and the motion for to approve the letter of intent has passed. Okay, moving on to the third item on the agenda is the proration of interest.
Madam Chair, I'm going to drop the line. Thank you for your consideration, everyone.
Thank you, Troy.
Yep, thank you.
All right, Annie, do you have somebody there? Or is BFM there?
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Jason Dilges with Bureau of Finance and Management.
Good morning, Mr. Dilges. How are you doing today?
Great. Thank you, Madam Chair. I'll try not to take too much of your day up, but thanks for participating. As you hopefully all know, SDCL 4-5-30 requires you to certify funds in the 2014 interest proration. And so I'd like to have you hopefully give an affirmative vote for that today. We sent out a packet last week and then updated that yesterday. It's on the BFM website if you hopefully had a chance to review that ahead of time. We do have hard copies here for the members that are in attendance. Just a couple of things that I'd like to point out, if I could. Page 2 of the document that you were sent talks about new and reassigned funds that weren't involved in the 2013 interest proration process. There's 31 of those particular funds. There's 17 participating recommendations for those new ones, as well as 14 for non-participating. One other slight change that you might notice this year is that we have also reflected the average daily cash balance to the right of all of those funds. That's something that we didn't do before but have done this year. And so you can see the average daily balance on those, all of those particular funds as of May 31st of this particular fiscal year. That's section one, which are the new funds. We also have 3 funds that were in the 2013 process that were recommending a designation change from non-participating to participating. That is in section two. And so as you're thumbing through the various funds that are listed on pages 3 and subsequent to that, you'll see that any green highlighted funds are commensurate with section one of the document, and any blue would be commensurate with section two. Let me stop there and ask if there's any questions.
Mr. Dill, just Representative negative balance.
Go ahead. Representative Ramkema.
Could you explain the negative balances of many of those funds?
Yes, Representative Ramkema, thank you for the question. The question was, what about the negative balances that we see on the report? And having a negative balance is not something that's unique. We have funds that continually have negative balances, whether or not they're pending reimbursements or other types of things. When there's an instance that there is a negative balance in the interest proration process, much in the same way that positive funds receive interest, negative funds pay interest. So whatever the proration rate of return is, those negative funds will actually be assessed during that proration process. And so they'll pay in, and that is also taken into consideration in the numbers that we have for the 90% that we'll do this month.
Are there any other questions for Commissioner Zeljas?
Madam Chair, if you're in support of the recommendations that the Bureau is making to you, I would appreciate a roll call vote so that we can continually move forward with that proration. That will, as you know, in state law, the 90% that goes into the general fund has to be done before the end of the year, but the finalization of the interest proration will occur sometime in September.
Thank you. Are there any further questions on the proration of interest report presented by Commissioner Zeljas? If not, I would entertain a motion.
So moved.
I got a motion by Senator Tiedemann, a second by Representative Carson. Is there any further discussion on the motion to approve the interest proration? Seeing none, Secretary, please call the roll.
Heineman.
Aye.
Jones.
Aye.
Nordstrom.
Aye.
Solano.
Aye.
Sutton. Tiedemann.
Aye.
Van Gerpen.
Aye.
White.
Aye.
Bowen. Carson.
Aye.
Dryden.
Aye.
Hager.
Aye.
Holly.
Aye.
Mickelson.
Aye.
Werner.
Aye.
Wismer.
Aye.
Ramkama.
Aye.
Peters.
Aye.
16 ayes, 2 excused.
All right, and the motion to approve the proration of interest is approved. All right, moving on to the next item on the agenda is a summary of budget transfers. This was information discussed previously. Annie, who's there from BFM?
I think Mr. Zeljas is again.
Oh. Okay. Welcome back, Commissioner Zeljas.
Well, thank you.
I like this report, by the way. It's very cool.
Okay, good segue, Senator Peters. About a year ago, actually it was the interim meeting from 2013, we engaged in a little bit of discussion about the transfers and the report that was submitted at that time to the interim committee. Those of you with a little more experience will remember that every time you would hold an interim committee meeting, we would have a summary of all the transfers that BFM had approved from the last time you held an interim meeting. And so you'd have to wait anywhere from 6 months to almost a year to receive notification or information about budget transfers that had been processed by our office. Starting a couple of years ago, we started to move into the digital age, if you will, and as soon as a transfer was approved on the budget system, a self-populating email was generated and sent to all of the members, and so that started to replace that old antiquated process of providing summary information on transfers. Well, interestingly enough, the state laws were written for the olden times, not for the up-to-date times, and so we approached this last legislative session by looking at some of the code, and we found again that this was a little bit outdated. So we worked with Senator Peters, and she introduced a bill for us that was ultimately Senate Bill 84 that changed the way in which we would provide reporting to you in a little bit more of a generalized manner, whereby which we could afford some technology upgrades and not conflict with the statutes. Page 16 of the document that you were sent kind of tries to encapsulate in some summary form the history in which these transfer notifications and reports were made available to you. And so if you look at page 17, you were sent originally an email that basically just talked about the department, the approval date, the amount of debits and credits in a small summary. On page 18, what we've replaced that with is a similar email with a similar email format. However, if you click on the click here, you can look at page 19, which then has transfer detail looking at each particular line item. So you can see, and if you look at page 19, you can see who in the department signed off on it, what date they signed off on it, the BFM budget analyst and when they signed off on it, the final authorization in BFM and when they signed off on it, and then the effective date of the transfer, as well as debit and credit line amounts by company and by sub-object, and the center listing as well. And so there's an infinite amount more of detail that's available to you now, and it's also more timely. In addition to that, all of this information and these transfers will now be posted on the BFM website as well. And so not only will you continue as a committee to receive the emails upon the finalization or when a transfer has been approved, but you also can go out to the website and view any transfer at any point in time. So we believe that's a lot better way to transmit this kind of data to you, hence the reason for us wanting to update our statutes, so to speak. So hopefully you'll find that useful to you in the future. One of the issues we talked with Annie about was, well, the new law doesn't go into effect till July 1. Should we print that old, antiquated? And so we're hoping that by doing neither and giving you kind of a summary level, that will suffice until the fiscal year begins on July 1.
Annie, are you guys going to continue to do the summary on and link onto our website for this information?
We have not. We wanted to discuss that with you first. We're not sure. Our information would have been a lot like this, but we might add comments of our own in addition to what they have.
Okay.
Oh, that's the
good
thing.
Any other questions or comments?
Those are for DDN revenue.
Yeah, go ahead.
This is Senator Heinemann. Just a couple of things that I think maybe Annie might be helpful, really, from our perspective. And it was something that came up at our very last day in appropriations and joint appropriations last session, was the transfer of unfilled FTE vacancies that we were transferring personal services to operating expenses. And I note that many of these reflect that. I think that might be interesting for us to just keep track of and maybe have a special notation just so we can kind of track how many unfilled FTEs are actually being transferred into operating expenses. And the other piece, I noticed that one of these, especially with the Bureau of Telecommunications, that it was a result of receiving fewer federal grants. And I think that might be something that we want to keep track of as well. Which of these are really
are because
of fewer federal grants coming in.
Yes, we can do that, Senator Heinemann.
Are there any other further questions or comments on this budget transfer detail report?
Madam Chair.
Go ahead, Representative Widmer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The largest one, if we could just discuss for a few minutes, if somebody could talk a little bit about the corrections one. 2014-2018 is $4.2 million. It's not a base transfer, it doesn't look like. But I'm kind of curious about, I guess in part I'm curious about why it isn't a base transfer, because it looks like the extra, it's general funds that are coming from juvenile community corrections, and that's $2.7 million of general funds. And it's going to lots of other parts in the correction system that kind of look like they're one-time things. Overtime, repairs of facilities, physical plant costs, remodeling costs. I just think it would be good for the entire committee to be informed about a little more about this $4.2 million, if that's possible.
Commissioner Dilges?
Sure. Committee members, Representative Widmer, the transfer that you're referencing, just for the members, if you want to if you want to follow along, is number 218. It was effective 5/30/2014. And so if you all recall, base transfers, obviously the deadline for that is sometime in July, and so we're way past the deadline for base transfers in the 2014 because you've already set the 15 budget. And so if we were going to do a base transfer, it'd have to be a 15 budget year base transfer. So that's that part of the question. The second piece of that is that we have done quite a bit of reorganization in the juvenile corrections area. We've had a lot of vacancies out in the Quest and Excel programs, and as a result, we are reforming that program out in the Hills region, and they're redeploying some of those FTEs, and so you'll probably see a base transfer for that going forward in the next month or so if we haven't already seen that. The other issue is that we had higher, as you perhaps remember, inmate health care costs. We asked you for additional resources to which you approved, and then we also had to redeploy some of our own internal resources to inmate health care costs to pay for some of the corrections health within the Department of Health. And then there was also some miscellaneous instances. Repairs of facilities. We're looking at some repair of facilities here in town because of the overcrowding of the women's facility, and so the old DCI building, they're going to do some remodeling of that particular area. And so that essentially outlines most of the changes that had occurred and the funds that need to be redeployed. I think we are doing a base transfer in corrections, and so it's not... Alex, do you want to mention that? But I think if you haven't seen it, it's coming.
This is Alex Hansen with the Bureau of Finance Management. We are working on a base transfer with the department right now. We're not quite ready with it. It'll probably reflect some of the changes in here that you see to kind of realign the expenditures that we've seen this year with the base budget going forward. So,
are there any further questions for Commissioner Dilges or Representative Wismer, does that help answer your question?
Yes, thank you.
Okay. Is there anything else on the budget transfer report? Okay, seeing none. Annie, did we need an approval?
Nope.
Okay. All right. If there's no further discussion on the new report and all of the fun information we get to glean from that, we'll move on to the next item on the agenda, the fiscal year end close. And with that, Commissioner Dilges, did you want to kick that off or Annie?
I'll try, and then I'll kick it over to Annie for any comments that she might have from her perspective. We are moving quite rapidly through to the end of the fiscal year. We have some established deadlines that we'll need to adhere to in terms of encumbrance documents and closing out on final payrolls. We have finished up with our central payroll. That is complete for this particular fiscal year. The only one left would be the Regental payroll, and then we'll have a couple weeks worth of operating expenses, and then essentially there'll be no more expenses that can take place from fiscal 14 funds. We do think that we're going to have some minimal reversions in some departments. We'll have a slightly larger reversion probably in the social services area due to a couple of different things. One, we've got enrollment changes within some of our long-term care, so our adult services and aging program will have some reversions there. And then also we have interestingly enough, since session concluded, seen our Medicaid enrollees go up quite significantly, but our CHIP have been going down, the result of which is that we're about flat. And that has really to do with some instances whereby which there's different enrollment guidelines that are coming to South Dakota as a result of the implementation of the Affordable Care Act. The good news on that is that even though the Title 19 eligibles are going up, we're seeing that the cost per individual or the utilization is down. And so expect to see some reversions in that particular area. Excuse me. We're also seeing some favorable results in our state employee health program. We had some very good months in terms of claims. Remember, that's not going to correlate into reversions of general funds, but it will improve our financial condition going into fiscal year 15. So the goal there would be not to have to ask for mid-year adjustments in that particular area. And I think the GOAC will talk a little bit about that. We're scheduled to visit about that a little bit more tomorrow. So all in all, I think on the expenditure side, things seem to be looking very well. I wouldn't be doing my job if I told you that all departments wouldn't be coming in under their at or below their appropriated budgets. On the revenue side, we've seen some pretty good numbers. The first 2 months post-session were a little bit lackluster, but May was pretty good. Sales tax was up double digits. Our excise tax was close to that. And so we've had a good month most recently there. If that holds out, we're expecting to have a small surplus in addition to the adopted revenue estimates that you concluded at the end of the last session. And you'll recall that we'll be getting together towards the end of July to talk about that again with another set of revenue estimates. And so we'll be updating you on the year-end receipts and how they turned out compared to the adopted, as well as a new projection for fiscal year 15. So if I put it all together, we'll anticipate receiving some reversions. I'm hopeful that it'll be somewhere close to $10 million. So don't quote me on that. If it goes away, it goes away. But as best I can tell you right now, that's what my crystal ball is telling me.
Perfect. I like your crystal ball. Annie, did you have anything else to add?
I can't top that good news.
Fantastic. Are there any other questions from the committee for Commissioner Bilgis on the year-end fiscal close?
Madam Chair.
Go ahead, Representative Widmer.
Question for Mr. Dilges.
Go ahead.
You said $10 million in reversions. Did you mean expense? Did you mean a total overall surplus? You said that sentence after talking about revenue, so I just wanted to make sure that you meant expense reversions or surplus. Was that which one were you saying?
Good question. My estimate would be everything together, not only improved revenue but reduced expenses. I think that given those collectively, the two sources would give us somewhere in the $10 million range. Thank you for asking and clarifying that.
Okay. Any other questions? All right. Seeing none, we'll go to the next item on the agenda, other business. I think if you look at the bottom of the agenda, you'll see future meeting dates. Is there any discussion on that?
Madam Chair.
Representative Widmer.
On the West River tour, in the time that I've spent on this committee, we haven't, I don't believe we've been to see any of the juvenile facilities, West River. So I'm wondering if that's on the agenda or not.
I believe every time we've done a West River, they've been on the agenda. But Annie, did you want to kind of give them a heads up on what you're looking at? We might have to whittle down time. We have so many things West River to take a look at, but Annie, if you want to give them a quick synopsis of everything on your list.
Sure. This was just a brainstorming session, and it will have to be whittled down. It's hard to reach the Northern Hills and the Vets Home in Hot Springs in 2 days. So right now on the list is the new Vets Home, the Shale Research Initiative at School of Mines, Game Fish and Parks, the Custer State Park Visitor Center, Spearfish Canyon, land purchase, update on fundraising timeline for both of those projects, a community support provider somewhere in the hills, Meade and Pennington County Courthouse remodel projects, Ellsworth REPI buffer, new public safety building in Rapid City, Sanford Underground Lab, and then a Department of Corrections facility, a juvenile I'll add that to our list. Did you have any others, Senator?
I did not. And Representative Wismer brought up the corrections. Anything else for the good of the order?
Madam Chair?
Go ahead.
This bill, Mayor Urban, this does not relate to the sewer. Do you want to hear my comment now or later?
I'd
like to comment on the Allen water bill.
Okay. Are there any further questions on the future meeting dates? All right. Seeing none, go ahead, Representative Anger, or excuse me, Senator Van Gerben.
Yeah, I have a concern. There's been some discussion, I think, to move the Lewis and Clark water regional system under the ominous water bill. If that's a discussion, I'm concerned about that. We have already moved from the term loan to grant. And I think that the Lewis and Clark ominous water bill needs to be a separate item. I mean, excuse me, Lewis and Clark regional water system needs to be a separate item and not included in the ominous water bill. The ominous water bill is pretty much grant money, as I understand. But the Lewis and Clark water system is still a loan. And I'd hate to see us continue to water down that subject of a loan by placing the Lewis and Clark water system in the ominous water bill.
Okay. We will pass your concerns on to the department. I'm sure Commissioner Dilges and his folks have already started working on all of that process, and so we'll pass that on to them. I'm sure they've heard your concern, and we'll keep working on it. Are there any other questions or comments for the good of the order on the agenda?
Madam Chair?
Go ahead, Senator.
Just a quick question. I was just reviewing last meeting's minutes, and I think at that time we had asked the Board of Regents to give us a report by June 1st on the specific nature of that shale research. And I think Senator Tiedemann had asked, you know, maybe for some performance goals and measures. Has that come out, and did I miss that, or have they done that?
Annie, do you know?
Denise reports that she emailed the report from Board of Regents to you all.
Okay, thank you. I just missed it on the...
Okay. I don't think I saw it either, to be honest. I'm not sure which email account it went to, but can we get that taken care of? I'm going to
sure.
jump off the phone.
Sure, we can send it again.
Thank you.
Okay. Are there any further questions, comments, or concerns? All right, seeing none, I need a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
And a motion by Representative Carson, a second by Senator Tiedemann. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Hearing none, this meeting's adjourned. Thank you very much, y'all.
Thank you.
Bye, everyone.